D-Mace, Bingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN analyst Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Hello, Trevor, how are you? We are so glad that you are with us on DVD on Everybody's Drive Home.
I'm great, Adam. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's going to be fun watching these Titans and see what they do. It's either going to be exciting or it's going to be an absolute train wreck. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but I can't wait to see it unfold.
To be fair, sometimes watching train wrecks can be exciting. As you know full well.
As long as you're not on the train.
Exactly. Right.
Proverbial train wrecks.
Yeah.
Trevor, as you know, I spent a significant amount of time in the Washington, D.C. area, and I know, as you know full well, the Washington Commanders and the other names that franchise has been known for were so much more interesting when they were a train wreck. So I'm all for a train wreck if that's what the Titans are going to be.
How old are you, Adam? I mean,
I am 36.
Yeah, you see, you're not old enough to remember when they weren't a train wreck. They were wrecking everybody else.
Exactly.
Back in the 90s with Joe Theismann and Darryl Green and all those guys, you know, they were fun back then, too.
Yes, yeah. I regularly bring up Robert Griffin III's rookie season. I was living in D.C. at the time. It was such a great season, but then he injured himself in the playoff game against Seattle, and everything just fell apart from there. But it was so much more interesting when everything started falling apart. So if the Titans are a train wreck, I would rather watch a bad team that's a train wreck than a bad team that is boring. But let us...
Yeah, just don't be boring, yeah.
Precisely. So let's talk about those Tennessee Titans. We were just discussing a report, let's call it, from ESPN analyst Jeremy Fowler, ESPN reporter Jeremy Fowler. He said, quote, while the Titans have been pleased with Brandon Allen's presence as the primary backup quarterback, they will monitor free agency or potential trades for veterans over the next month. How seriously should the Titans monitor free agency or potential trades for a veteran backup with Cam Ward and the potential that he will struggle in his rookie season?
I think they absolutely should. I mean, really, it depends on what they expect this year. If they think that the team has improved enough with the draft and free agency that they could, if they catch a break with injuries, go out there and compete for a division championship, they're going to have a backup quarterback that can take them that far. And can Brandon Allen do it? I mean, he's been in the league since 2016. He hasn't done a whole lot, at least not very successfully, on the field since then. But he's got an NFL arm. He's got an NFL brain. And, you know, if the coach thinks he can step in without much successful experience, if something happens with Cam Ward, and get him to compete on for a division championship and possibly beyond, then great. If he's not sure about that, he owes it to the rest of the team. This is now the coach and the general manager. They owe it to the rest of the players to look for a backup quarterback that can at least do that. Typically, if you've got a quarterback who's good enough to take you deep into the playoffs, he's not going to be a backup. He'll be starting for you or for somebody else, and he won't be available. But there are plenty of guys that are good enough to at least maximize the team that's there, not to elevate the rest of the guys beyond what they're capable of naturally, but at least to get the other guys involved and to limit mistakes of his own, that this team can go as far as it can organically. And they owe it to the rest of the team to make sure that the backup quarterback can do that, whether it's Brandon Allen or anybody else. But if they do bring in a veteran, I think it sends a signal to the rest of the team that, yeah, you know, we expect to run with Cam Ward, but if something happens with him, we want somebody in that can maximize you guys now, because we respect your careers. And that's something that I don't think they got the impression of when Will Levis was going through his complete mental breakdowns early in the season last year, and yet the coach kept praising him. The coach kept letting him play. And so I would think that the signal that sends to the rest of the team would be just as important as the actual ability on the field.
Now, I hear what you're saying, Trevor, because Derek said the same thing as a former player as well, that the other players in the locker room want to feel like they have a chance to win. Now, the counter argument would be, would it not be counterintuitive for a rebuilding team to bring in a veteran backup quarterback, a more seasoned veteran backup quarterback that could help them win more games if it means hurting their draft position? Because the Titans need all the help they can get. And if Cam Ward isn't ready, you put Brandon Allen out there, you're not going to be winning very many games. But in the long run, would that not be a good thing if they were to pick again high and try to rebuild their team to be competitive soon?
I think that's a fun exercise for fans, and I see why you bring it up. But if that's their goal, they really should take the backup quarterback, Brandon Allen, who's on the team now, and start him at right tackle. Because they're less likely to win. And if they're not going to go to the Super Bowl, they might as well get a better draft pick, a higher pick, right? And so, I mean, have the punter be their wide receiver number one. Let Calvin Ridley watch from the bench. The problem that you have is culture. In college, culture is massive because you've got a lot of young guys that are learning how to act as a football player on that level, at a high level. In the NFL, it's just as important because now you've got professional athletes with kids in school that are many of them, if not most, are making millions of dollars a year. And if the culture is such that the players think that this is all about me and it's not about us, you're not going to maximize the potential of the team anyway. And so, you know, if the players think that for some reason the folks upstairs are trying to sabotage things to get a better draft pick because, you know, over the next 5 or 10 years it'll be better if we get a better draft pick and we're not going to really go anywhere this year anyhow, well, then the culture becomes me. It doesn't become we. It doesn't become sell out to do everything you can to help your teammates win. The culture becomes, yeah, I'm going to go out and do what makes me look good on tape in case I become a free agent. And in the meantime, I'm going to make sure I don't get hurt because we're not playing for anything anyway this year. And so I just can't fathom as a player that was in those locker rooms for as many years as I was that the upstairs brain trust would ever give an iota of an impression of the players in the locker room that their main goal is to get a higher draft pick. That would be disgusting beyond belief.
You're right about that, Trevor. I don't think you can go into a situation like the Titans, and if Cam's not ready, or say, you know, by some chance he misses games or miss half the season and he can't finish it out, and the upper management is thinking more about their draft position rather than to, you know, go out there and try to put the best product on the field, especially for those other guys. I just couldn't see a organization just doing that so noticeably where those other guys sort of feel it. But sticking with Cam here, obviously they have their preseason game coming up this weekend, but they're going to be practicing against Tampa and Atlanta right before those preseason games. What is it that you would like to see from your rookie quarterback in situations like this? Because the whole week, it's been up and down here in Nashville with the Titans, so much so that Brian Callahan just got fed up with it and blew a gasket after the other day's practice about the offense not being, you know, as fluid and as precise as he wanted it to be. We know it's about production, but we also know it's about developing your quarterback. A lot of times now, they're all about stats in practice. We see it across the board from ESPN to any other outlet. They're always talking about the quarterback 9-7, you know, in this period, or 5-10 in this period. What is it that you want to see beyond that from Cam Ward in these two preseason games, but the practices more importantly before the games?
You know, I want to see him, Derek, protect himself. Mm-hmm. Both in the drills with the Buccaneers, and especially in a game situation when they play the preseason game against the Buccaneers. Now, by protect himself, I don't mean avoid injury, although that would be a bonus. What I mean is do the things that quarterbacks have to do when you get into the regular season to protect themselves. The first thing is get into the right protection, get into the right play, so that you don't have defenders having an advantage coming blasting in on you unblocked or with a blocking mismatch. That's one thing. Another thing is understand where to go with the football. In other words, the defense in the regular season before the snap will have a disguise on what the coverage and blitz might be, et cetera. Less so in the preseason, but this is something you've got to be ready for. Then at the snap, they shift into what the real coverage, the real pressure package will be. The quarterback needs to, after the snap, see what the defense is doing and know immediately where to go with the ball before he gets to the back of his drop, at least where his first and second progressions will be. Maybe not the third and maybe not the fourth, but certainly where the first and the second will be, because part of protecting himself is getting the ball out of his hand on time so that the pass rush doesn't have time to get there. And then, but I'd be happy if he knows in the preseason against simplified coverages, if he will know where the first and second options are based on what the defense does after the snap. But then the last part of protecting himself is know where his answers are. In other words, if there's pressure coming from the right and I don't have time to go through my regular progressions, where's the answer? Where's my outlet? Where do I dump the ball off? Or if I don't have a place to dump the ball off, I need to know that before the pressure gets to me so I can throw it away. And sometimes you watch Tom Brady play, especially later in his career, when pressure got to him early, Brady wouldn't throw it short or even throw it away. Sometimes Brady would just have a seat. He would literally just sit down in the pocket so he wouldn't take a big hit, survive to run the next play. And the reason for that was because he didn't have a good answer on that play. But he knew that, and so he sat down instead of trying to extend the play and have the ball knocked out of his hand or have his head knocked clean off his shoulders or whatever would happen. So these are all things that a young quarterback must do to protect himself. And not coincidentally, they're also the things that a young quarterback must learn to do as time goes on to be able to succeed at the position. But if the quarterback doesn't know where to go with the ball, he can't play, and he shouldn't play. Not yet. And if a quarterback doesn't know where his answers are, then he can't play and he shouldn't play. Not yet. You can build once he gets to that, but you can't build if he doesn't have that.
We'll talk with Trevor Maddich, ESPN NFL analyst, as well as college football analyst. Now, leading up to these preseason games, based upon your experience playing in this league and then obviously watching it for so many years, what is the best course of action in playing a rookie quarterback during preseason? Because we know Cam has been taking bulk of the snaps with the first team offense. How long then, after practicing with a team for a few days, how long should you play that guy in a preseason game? Should you let him get a quarter and get him on out of there because you've seen enough in the practices, or you just gauge it by how the offense is looking?
Derek, I want to know what you think about this because, I mean, you played in the league forever at a very high level, and I'm interested to see if you and I agree on this because I think in this situation where Cam Ward has to be ready for week one because he's going to be the starter unless he's just a complete and utter train wreck, I don't think you put him in for two series like teams often will do in the first preseason game or the second preseason game as well. I think he needs to have a lot of time in there. So keep the starting offensive line in and let him play, in my opinion, well into the second quarter, maybe even the entire first half, because he needs the experience of being behind center when it's a game situation. And that game situation is relatively easy for him to decipher. And the Buccaneers, their first opponent, will very likely play on defense, their starters for a series or two, and then the backups come in. And then by the time you get later in the first half, Cam will be facing guys that probably won't be in the league this coming season. But that'll make it easier for him to kind of get from first year into second year, and maybe even into the third year a little bit. But he needs those kinds of reps, those kinds of game reps. And if you play him for two series and that's it, then you're taking away from the rest of the team the opportunity to have this young quarterback be as ready as he possibly could for week one of the regular season. So in my opinion, Derek, mm-hmm. I think they should play him a lot throughout the entire preseason.
Before I pass it to Willie, I'm with you on that because I think, and you have to explain it to your veteran guys too on it, because I've been in that situation with Joe Flacco. The offensive coordinator comes to you and say, hey, listen, you may end up playing a couple more snaps than what we want you to play, but our rookie quarterback is going to be in the game and we need you out there. Everybody's in agreement. I think that's the way Brian Callahan should approach the offensive line as well as the receivers. Calvin Ridley, Van Jefferson, y'all guys.
Tyler Lockett, who said, I came here to play with
exactly.
Cam.
Exactly. So
he said.
If Cam's, when Cam's in a game, y'all in a game. When he's out, that's when y'all are out.
Hey, Trevor, let's sneak one in on the college level. I think we're all really intrigued in the fallout of the whole Nico thing with Tennessee about how, presuming that Joey Aguilar at least gets the first crack at it, being that he's an older guy and he has played, what have you found out as you've studied him or talked to people like you do? What's the expectation level in your mind on Aguilar?
You know, I think he's going to be good. I think he'll be one of those guys that will take the team as far as the team can go, like we talked about a minute ago in the NFL. I don't know that he's good enough to elevate the Volunteers beyond what they would normally be, just because, you know, in order to do that, he would have to defeat SEC defenses in his first year going against these SEC defenses as a member of the conference. And I'm not sure that he's got that ability. Now, maybe he does. I know 2 years ago at App State, he was fantastic. Last year, he struggled a bit. He lost some of the guys that helped him out the year before. But I think he's very experienced. I think he's savvy. I think he's competitive. And I think he is plenty good enough to take this team as far as the rest of the team is able to go. But do keep in mind that they're replacing their top three wide receivers, four offensive linemen, the all-timer of a running back. I mean, this is a complete rebuild on the offensive side of the ball. And so, you know, his experience of knowing where his answers are, that kind of thing, I think will really help, you know, this offense not get bogged down as much as it could. The other guys, I mean, you've got a true freshman who's probably the most talented of all, but he's got no experience at all in the offense. And you've got a redshirt freshman who is also talented, and he's got 1 year in the offense, but, you know, that doesn't have a whole lot of game experience. And so, you know, I really think Joey Aguilar, if he understands what success looks like for him, in other words, success is not doing what Cam Ward did in Miami, which is to say every play needs to be a home run and he's going to extend every play and he doesn't want to throw the 4 yard check down on second and six because, you know, that's not a big hero play and that won't get him the Heisman. You know, as long as he understands what success looks like from his position this year, then I think he'll do a very good job.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. Looking forward to chatting with you every Tuesday. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure to have Trevor Maddich on our airwave. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com, as I said at the top of the hour. Willie levied a serious charge against me when I was on vacation. And now I'm going to respond. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.